this one's your idea. I know Jackson said he didn't pick it because maybe his own campaign was involved. Maybe he thinks we were spying on him.
No, I think Jackson knows that we were feeding him a lot of stuff in the campaign. Not we, but we were arranging for stuff to be fed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wants to stay out of it.
Well, what if anything there can be or is being done or can be done in the counter tax? Are there any of the charges against our Democratic friends being investigated? Have they been? Will they be?
Yeah.
I guess so.
There isn't anything that balances.
Not any fingers.
No.
Well, let me suggest one other thing. This Brewster thing, according to Bobby Beaton, he said this runs a hell of a lot deeper and runs to a number of Democratic senators. How can he be a Republican or so? Now, what are we doing about having an investigation, calling in Spiegel, putting him under oath, FBI, and say what other senators go right down the list? What are we doing about that?
Nothing. That's a good point. I don't know if we're doing it.
I think it should be done. I think there should be, don't do it, don't put it on.
No.
I think you ought to discuss this with who?
John Dean.
John Dean, the second. And it should get over to Kleinies and say, after all, Brewster has made a very serious charge. It's always been smart to have that there are a lot of senators involved. This charge must not be investigated. And therefore, I think that I think the Attorney General ought to order the FBI to call in Spiegel, the various people, and conduct an investigation. See my point?
Reopen the grand jury?
Yes. But first, the FBI did that investigation before they predicted the goddamn grand jury.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
I think that they're making Danny Brewster go here. I really do.
Oh, I know they are.
Danny is it's a lush, but he's a nice little fellow. And you know that this son of a bitch was paying off other people.
Yeah.
And you know that Senate is full of people that take money. You know it.
Of course.
Christ, I was one of the few that didn't take anything.
I'm both sides of the aisle. He's
Republicans, and I don't give a shit against a Republican. I really don't.
I don't know who this one does. This one's got Hartke, Long, Montoya.
All right. You're right.
There was a chain of people that were involved
in
the payoff on the Tulsa case.
We could have Hartke, that would be great, but I ain't calling in. You know what I mean? They're going to talk about the separation of powers and the rest. The FBI should get right into this thing. And let it be known.
That's
why the chances of somebody registering the police should be out there. Whatever happened to that clown, for example, that rushed the car, I suppose they let him out.
No, they're trying to get a felony. They still are trying to create a felony charge. I talked to John Dean about that last week.
Okay.
And the Secret Service were not cooperative initially. They are now. And they're trying to put that as a felony.
Well,
charge hasn't been preferred. Well, it's possible.
In jail or on bail?
No, he got on bail without charges.
Did anything happen with regard to all the windows that were smashed and all that sort of thing? The basically the conspiracy by the McGovernites to not tell a lot of us that anything that we were able to put anything together there that fall.
Well, no, we made a hell of a lot of we screamed about it at the time. And got damn little press attention. I mean, that's the double standard.
Well, can we, in this investigation by her, can we get one of our senators who can take this whole record and say, I demand all of this be investigated?
Yes, sir.
And that the people be called, that Jerry Hart and all the rest be called about the mailing of that, all of this stuff. In other words, if we're talking about dirty tricks, you've got to have. What I'm concerned about is this, you can't just be the defensive on this stuff. You've got to start worrying them about some other things. And they've got to be damn worried.
I think your idea, Mr. President, on the Brewster thing is marvelous, because that I've always felt, when push came to shove, that Urban would not go ahead with those hearings, because people who live in glass houses throwing stones. Urban, I'm sure, is clean as a whistle, but
okay.
There are damn few of his colleagues who don't have a skeleton or two.
But yeah, but my point is, how do we get at his colleagues so that they'll tell Urban to lay off? That's my point. And why are we going to do it? I mean, I don't understand what the crisis is about.
good. Ehrlichman has been in, sort of in charge of this, but maybe get John Dean more deeply into it. John is good. John
has got to be certainly aware of it all, and, you know, it's a very disease, and there's been a I think they ought to conduct a hell of an investigation of these people and care where the chips lie. Mm-hmm. And if, for example, they find that even you, Scott, is involved, goddammit, he's involved, right?
Dixon was involved.
Oh, Christ, Dixon had a black box. He was so.
I know.
Well, everybody was coming in there. Jesus, you know what I mean. But let's get at it. You know, we just got 5 years in jail and so forth. The fallback for the whole thing, God damn it to hell. Let's get around and get him. Bobby Baker.
Job of general counsel, where you have The chief counsel of the IRS reports to the general counsel. You can control the IRS out of that office. And,
That's right.
And Webster doesn't want this. Of course, he wants, he being a tax lawyer. But he will do it because he's so loyal to us. But I guarantee you, if he ever gets in there, they'll...
Yeah. Well, they'll my whole point here is this, and don't take this now as a directive to go out and raid Sally Berlin and Dean Preston, and they'll come and say what they want to talk to us about there, and they're not here today, but I think it's a good thing to discuss quietly with me and say, let it come from him and the rest. There ought to be thought on what you're going to do in the Brewster case.
I won't
and do it.
I won't.
Then get thought on what you're going to do about all this, dredge up every damn violation they've got.
I won't.
And do it. I insist on it.
I want
a senator that will raise every one of these things in that committee now. I think they've got to realize what we're going to raise. You see, you've got to fight it.
Well, our fellows, in defense of Dean, who has a great capacity for work, he has been so consumed in the delicacies of this case. Which, by the way, he's done a spectacularly good job on. But I think now with the case passed and with the...
When is he going to sentence?
Well, I would think he would sentence any time. All he has to do is get a pre-sentencing report. I don't know whether the mistrial appeal gets heard before he sentences or not.
Who's answering the mistrial?
Oh, the counsel for Liddy and McCord.
I've
never seen a better case for a mistrial. Of course, all that will do is get a new judge and a new trial.
That's the case because the judge is not mentioned.
And because 5 of 7 defendants pleaded guilty in the middle of the case and the jury saw 5 of them disappear, leading to the only possible conclusion that they had pleaded guilty, which therefore reflected on the other 2 defendants who did not plead guilty. They've got a very, very good case for mistrial.
Well, for the best, shall we?
The only tough question, Mr. President, that sometime you may have to face is whether you argue the separation of powers and have White House aides simply refuse to testify. You can't be selective. You can't have one testify and the others not, or several testify and one not.
What's the advice on that at this point?
Well, my judgment on it is that you would, if it got to that, you would invoke the separation of powers as to those who are on your immediate staff. That's a well-recognized principle.
Who are we talking about that has to be
called for? Haldeman, Ehrlichman, John Dean, very important. I can testify, but you let me testify, and then they say, well, why not John Dean? Why not Ehrlichman?
Mitchell
has to go testify. Yeah, he has to go testify.
Why?
Because he is not part of... He was campaign manager. He was not part of your... But they're okay. They're okay in the sense of I know what they'll testify to.
Yeah. Kalmbach, he has to testify.
Yep. And I wouldn't let Chapin testify. Strictly on the constitutional principle that your immediate advisors are not subject to interrogation by an equal coordinate branch of government, and they're not. I mean, that issue has been tested many times.
Do you think it's... I wonder, though, why does it put them in a bad position, basically?
Depends on what they have to say.
Do you think the only one it really puts in a bad position, I think, is Chapin. I think you can handle it all right.
Oh, hell, I could.
I think all of them can handle it all right, or really see no more than they think.
I think he would handle it all right, but I think the problems are... You only have to worry about circumstantial impeachment, but you can always get that. And that would be a bigger price to pay than simply drawing a hard and fast line.
Yeah.
And, that would be the consequences of that would be more severe than drawing a hard and fast line.
Yeah. Chief?
You have to. That's the whole point. You do one, you have to do them all. I'd love to testify. I'd like nothing better. It would help me. I think Irvin has to, unless he finds some excuse not to. Appeals. Well, it depends. Grand jury will now re-examine all those witnesses, all those defendants.
Examine the grand jury is going to be reconvened, is it?
Yes, sir.
They're going to call Sloan in again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know about Sloan. They'll call in the seven defendants because now they have no Fifth Amendment protection. In other words, they're out of jeopardy. They've been sentenced.
Well, how will they handle themselves?
They'll be all right. That part of it doesn't concern.
They'll call Mitchell again.
I don't think so. Not the grand jury. Well, because they wouldn't reopen the entire investigation unless one of the defendants said something he didn't say before.
Who is the one individual that they have not had before?
Don't know. Have you either?
Well, Dean must only be able to list of seven or eight.
Yeah. One of them had not been interrogated. But Silver said that his name hadn't been directly or indirectly involved in the case. Could be Holden because of the story in the Post. I can find that out. course, I've refused to see him for 3 years. And, well, he said...
All right, I can do the same, but I mean, I'm glad you refused for a while.
Well, he called and he said, you know, if he told my secretary, he said, if Colson has any guts at all, he will see me, because he just slammed me in the New York Times, which went into 200 newspapers. And he said, if he doesn't have the courage now to... We decided to go to China. We decided to do this. We decided to do that. When he came to the bombing, he said, the president made a lonely and difficult decision. One of the most difficult decisions the president made the decisions. He never said we. And that was just a little nuance that most people miss, except Timish caught it and Kraft caught it, because Kraft mentioned that to me. He said, look at what Henry said last night on the Caleb show.
Compromise the negotiation.
That's exactly what I said.
Sure.
I said, I did say that Henry didn't intend it, because I don't think he did.
He didn't always protect him.
Yeah, he didn't come out there and say, peace is at hand. He slid it into a sentence very dramatically. Of course, the guy, Henry has an extraordinary mind. He has a...
Terrific.
Yeah.
He's an enormous vitality. He's done a terrific job of creating the structure of the bridge. He knows every subject. He works daily. He's an enormous asset. But on the other hand, you cannot allow that back any better than him. He is very human and very personal. And also, he's Jewish.
Oh.
We have to face this. That they, that characteristic, I think only one I know that it does not show through. It shows through with Burns. It shows through with Zappar. It shows through with Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It shows through Stein, not so much.
No.
But Garmin, never. No. Garmin is an unusual person.
Clausen, never.
Clausen, you never know.
No.
Is he my wife?
I'm not
so
sure.
So this is the question, because there are some Gentiles just bad. But what it is, it's the insecurity.
Oh, yeah.
And this latent insecurity. Most Jewish people are insecure, and that is why they have to prove things.
Well, they're living with they build up the whole theory of genocide as a way of creating that sympathy.
What about Henry should be insecure about now? I don't know.
Oh, he does. Little things. You know, he's a very strange fellow. I'm going on this trip that you approved.
Yeah.
In another 2 weeks, and Henry was supposed to talk to Dobrynin. He did, but he sort of downplayed it because Dobrynin went back to Commerce and said, this isn't very important, is it? I gather from Kissinger, I haven't told Henry I've caught him on this, but he just can't, you know, he doesn't like other people around him to have any visibility. He's just, he's got to have that center stage all to himself. And so many times I've really gone to bat to try to help the guy. He's a strange fellow.
I don't know what maybe in the country, though, except for the
lives.
I don't think the lives, except for the lives, I don't think most people think Kissinger. You hear a lot of wires coming. Thank you for you and Dr. Kissinger. How does that hurt?
No.
But you say to Eisenhower, thank you for Eisenhower and Dulles. Those are for Dulles.
Look, Kissinger's your creation.
That's right.
You know, going through the editorials, Mr. President, which we're doing for mailing purposes and a copy to you, it's interesting that we have, they're all, President Nixon's courage. It is Mr. Nixon's victory. Mr. Nixon showed firmness and courage.
They matter not what the situation is. Yes, sir. And you're great with this. I don't know. I want to wait. To... Yes, sir.
I'd say out of 30 or 40 that I have that are damn good, only one or two mentions it. He mentions Henry. Peace with honor is a victory for Richard Nixon.
And
the
United States. They should report that.
Well, they're paranoid about Kissinger. You know, Mordell and Pat Buchanan are absolutely paranoid. Well, they go crazy because they don't think he gives you the credit. They think he's always trying to take it himself. And like Mordell called me after the program, he said, I just can't watch that son of a bitch anymore. He said, you know, and your news summary reflects that paranoia on their part. It's not
accurate.
Yes, he did.
He came up to me at the dinner and told me aside. He said, look, he said, I don't want you to say anything about it. He said, I don't want you to object if I talk to Eve Rogers, to Paul Miller, to the three others, and have them do something that's not about them. I said, well, first of all, I won't accept it if it was ever offered. Second, it'll never be offered because the goddamn Swedes are the majority of the board. Well, he said, making their spaces just as right to have this thing going. He said, and then he went on to say, so you realize, of course, if that isn't given you, it's going to go to Kissinger.
Yeah.
That cannot be.
No.
Now, we do have that problem there, you know. And I think that that's what the Times is talking about, and that's what Reason's talking about. And I think that's kind of built up the element that was afraid of, I think.
Yeah, well, oh, absolutely. That is the problem. And But Henry has to. Henry's the only one that can handle that. He's just going to say.
And he hasn't done it.
No, I know.
Well, I think he has to know. He has to know, Chuck, that
we're onto his game.
I think you've got the Tom up on the Kraft thing. Mm-hmm. That Kraft came in and you just did it. You don't think I'm honored about it. You just want to do it. You've never been such a repulsive me, put it that way. You finally threw him in and then tell him what you said. What do you do to get well? And you said you can slash your wrists. But tell him that he get rested and talking, and both of them gave us their Sergeant Henry Kissinger, and they were gone.
Well, I can tell Henry, it's interesting, Henry hasn't called me since that op-ed piece, you know, but before I wrote that, he asked me to do it. He said, you know, I asked him if he wanted to do it. He said, yeah, never called me after it. But my line to Henry is very simple, you know. I put my reputation right on the line, Henry, with 200 newspapers. A lot of people read that. I said flatly that was a myth, that there was no rift, no disagreement, no difference. I don't enjoy these guys coming in telling me they got something like that from you. That's just the way those bastards try to do it. And I can handle that.
Good.
I can be sort of a dumb boy from the country.
Yeah, that's not that. Say they,
well,
they began to cut through them, or at least beyond the country.
Well, from odd places. I mean, predictable places, but also some unpredictable ones, including the Boston Globe, which amazes me. But the tenor of all of them is it's Nixon, and it's there's a lot of emotionalism in the way they've written it. A lot better than we thought as we began, you know. Our enemies who came to understand best that the spine of the man in the White House was made of steel. It was that Wall Street Journal. It was that steel that it was that steel that brought the agreement while the jackals yelled and the hyenas howled. It's good stuff. Here's the Tribune talks about President Nixon and his foreign affairs advisor, Dr. Henry Kissinger. That's the first one in eight pages that it mentioned Kissinger. Ceasefire is finally a tribute to Mr. Nixon. His global poker game has paid off. In the face of pressures.
That's why, you know, Chuck, when I started the press out there, when I said it's, I said, you know, it's going to gag you to write a piece of an
honor. Oh.
I think it's the best thing I did in the conference.
I do too. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
If you still be where I am kicking them now.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure it
out. Absolutely. The thing we have to do is, we have to do it. We hit him very hard this week. We really did. And there was a daily attack. Yours, of course, being the big gun, obviously. But now we take a couple of days and back away and then hit him again. And we don't want them to build up too much. The
frustration
line.
Which no, as a matter of fact, I did, but I was perfectly courteous. You know, I didn't cut any of them off. I let them go gagging on.
We did it in the most brilliant way.
Yeah.
That's
so
perfect.
The assholes have got anything sweet about in that respect.
No.
And they the whole point about the Miranda thing is that it's the exact opposite from the truth. I was the coolest man in the room.
Yeah, but that's what he does. I mean, he does that all the damn time. The guy makes it up. He's incredible. And he's the laziest reporter in the business. You know, he'll say, White House aides tell me this, that, and that. He doesn't call around. He's one of the guys that really does not. He's we did that. We started the letters yesterday. Yeah, it does look rather, because he's young and ambitious. He's.
How are the letters? What they say?
Oh, we've been a fan of yours, but we saw the president on television, and for you to say that he was nervous, you know, you had to make that up. And we've always thought you were an honest reporter, but how could you say that the president was angry? He wasn't angry. He was, you know. Yeah, we've got. No, it doesn't take a hell of a lot. You know, 20-25 letters, and the guy gets.
Well, frankly, the rhetoric was, I think, out of touch with what even most of our critics in the press were writing about the press conference.
Yeah.
For example,
Whitfield, who's
no writers too.
Oh yeah, everybody wrote about how masterfully you handled it, how much in command you were. As a matter of fact, that press conference got probably maybe in part because I hadn't been on for a while, but also because they're getting a little more sensitive. That got marvelous coverage and a lot of coverage. The TV, I still find hard to believe. 7 minutes on NBC, 6 on CBS. But the job now, Mr. President, I think the points are well made. I really do. I think that Sinlinger will tell you what he's ask him what the public attitude is, because they're very strong behind.
One of the points that is interesting is that I thought was really a shocking reporting when they said that in Peking he was hailed, Joe was hailed. In the United States, our Kissinger was and of course the agreement is
that's right. That's right. Well,
of course, people aren't jumping up and down about, there's no victory in the usual sense. But there's a hell of a lot of good feeling in the country, you know, when you go out.
That's what everybody tells us, and that's what we get from talking to people. Yes, sir. And that's what Simlinger tells you, that the country is very happy. The country is, what the hell, retail sales last week, I read, were 13% above a year ago. The jackass stock market, I can't understand. They're worried about phase three.
Well, I don't know whether it's phase three or it might be Arthur Burns again.
No, it's phase
three. Arthur's Arthur did what we wanted in the election.
Yeah. Oh, I just didn't see it get out. In fact, I think the thing is the economy is going so fast that you could have a bust in time for the 74 election, which is what we don't want. I mean, this dampening a little bit is not a bad thing. And if this dampens and if the money tightens up, that's fine. My God, unemployment down to 5%. You know, it's been at 5% for 3 months.
I need George from that yesterday. I said, George,
conservative.